If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It's Dave Plyer here on 720 WGN. Happy Friday to all of you. We got a big show for you tonight. Comedian Colin Mochrie is coming to Chicago with his hilarious two-man show, live show. We'll talk about his legendary run on the improv classic, Whose Line Is It Anyway?, show that proved comedy works best without a script. Then Smokey Robinson, true architect of the Motown sound, rock and roll hall of famer, the voice behind timeless hits like The Track of My Tears, Cruisin', Being With You. As a songwriter, producer, and performer, Smokey helped define an era, writing not only for himself, but for The Temptations, Mary Wells, and so many others that shaped American music. And he's coming back to Chicago in early April. And we're going to look back at Chicago's greatest pitchmen, the larger-than-life personalities who turned local commercials into cultural moments. That's our escape for tonight, away from the politics, the newsletter feed, all that other good stuff. We'll also talk about the jingles you still remember word for word. But first, you're going to enjoy a night of comedy with Chicago's very own Anna Balaval, Mike Toomey, and Jeff Hoover, all from the WGN9 morning team, the number one ranked morning show in Chicagoland. Oh, and the most loved, of course. It's all happening on Thursday, March 12th, and Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove. For tickets, you can go to classiccinemas.com. Go ahead, buy your tickets now. I can wait. And joining us to talk about the upcoming event is Mike and Anna. Hi, guys. How are you?
David, how are you?
I am great. So what does a Mike Toomey and Anna Balaval do on a Friday night? Anna, what's going on tonight?
I can't wait to go to bed. I'm counting the hours. I may forgo dinner. I'm thinking my son has been sick all week, so I'm like, and my husband has been taking care of him, so I'm like, how can I, like, can you take his everything he needs by 8 so I can be asleep by 8:30. That's my life.
That's your life. How about you, Mike? What's a Friday night in the Toomey house?
I'm actually in bed right now. And the phone is propped up on the pillow. Remember that old SCTV bit where Perry Como is still alive? That's me talking to you right now.
That is one of my favorites.
He's an empty nester. An empty nester. So
you can do that.
You can do that.
So what's on the? So are you gonna watch a little TV, like a little Dukes of Hazzard, some Dallas, like a typical Friday night tonight?
You're probably gonna go to the Love Boat channel on Pluto. I'm not bragging.
But oh my god!
That's gonna be a big night.
You know what? I used to love that show as a kid, and I do watch it. I try to throw myself into it, watch it now. It wasn't really that good.
It's fascinating, though. The only thing worth watching is the beginning where they tell you every celebrity from every walk of life that's going to be on it. That's like the first 10 minutes of the show is seeing all these weird combinations of celebrities.
Yeah, especially if Charo was on. I mean, Charo made the whole
show.
Oh,
boy. Oh, boy, Charo.
Exactly.
Oh, boy.
Anytime you both do stand-up, it's a fun night, but it's a double threat, both of you and then Hoover, too, which very unpredictable. I'm sure there's going to be no meetings with him, and it's just going to happen as it goes.
Right. It's a wild card. Well, it's a wild card.
Yeah, and he's going to host the show, and he's just so comfortable in front of people. And, you know, he's one of those guys like, should I say this? Should I not say this? And then he says it and says, should I not have said that? And it's just this whole manic presence that he brings that makes him funny.
So true. Described it perfectly. Mm-hmm. Are you both going to do your award-winning hat store commercial live on stage?
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have time to rehearse it, Mike?
I think it's a possibility. I have to gather up the hats, and maybe we can run through the old routine and see if it still works.
Right.
I have a few hats, including one my dad bought at that store. Remember?
Hats Plus, yeah.
And Hats Plus isn't
I'm
around,
ready,
is it?
You are.
Is it gone?
No, that's it's not. Oh. It's not. They're gone.
Okay. All right. So, you know, you both, you know, are going to be doing your stand-up and stuff, but, like, everybody sees you every day on the news, but I wanted to ask, like, Mike first, like, where did you get your comedy chops? Like, where did it all come from? Was it watching the Mike Brady's? Was it watching the sitcoms or somebody funny in the family, someone who inspired you that was a comedian? Like, what was it, Mike?
It was watching comedians on TV ever since I was a little kid and listening to albums where they did comedy, you know, records. Couldn't get enough of it. And that became like appointment TV. If a guy like David Brenner or John Biner was going to be on Carol Burnett or, you know, a show like that, I couldn't miss it. And I was fascinated by it and still am to this day.
What were some of those comedy albums?
Well, the one that really got me was an album by Stan Freberg. And Stan Freberg, if you're not familiar, he was like the Weird Al of his day. He did songs, but he also did sketches. And as a five-year-old kid, believe it or not, I would memorize those pieces word for word. And my family was nice enough to indulge me and put up with me and let me do those things when I was really, really little kid.
I think my dad had an old Zenith in the living room. So there was a Don Rickles album, which was, by the way, his routine for 50 years. That was just the same routine. But the other one was the Smothers Brothers Volume 2, and I had Dick Smothers on the show a few years ago, and I said, you know what, I'm still looking, like, how come I can't find the first volume? The Volume 1 doesn't, it's not out there. He goes, no, that's a joke. We only made Volume 2.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. For 50 years, I'm looking for this album. Right, exactly. Exactly. What about you, Anna? Like, where did the comedy come for you?
I have been making people laugh or loving to make people laugh since I was a kid. I always was the funny kid in the class. I did ballet and jazz, and I took all those lessons, and I always ended up with the funny character in the recital. And so I've always enjoyed entertaining people and making them laugh. And I've grown up in a family that is very funny without meaning to. And so we would gather around the table and we would tell stories, and the stories always ended up funny. So humor has always been a great coping mechanism for us. And so for me, it was that. And of course, I grew up watching Carol Burnett on cable. I grew up watching, you know, Puerto Rican comedies and Mexican and Latin American comedies. And so I love humor. I loved sitcoms growing up, and I loved stand up. And so that's kind of like what made it, you know, kind of interesting and exciting for me when I started doing it.
You know, I think I was at your first, stand up comedy show. When was that?
Oh, that was, I guess, 18. Mike, I think that was
2006,
17 years ago.
Yeah.
It has to be at least that. I do remember it well, but I couldn't tell you what year it is. It was Zanies in Old Town.
It was Zanies in Old Town, and my daughter, I started doing stand up when my daughter was around 2.
Yeah,
three.
I remember.
And she's 18.
I remember. I think, and I think Dean and George, Dean Richards and George were there. Pat was there, and I remember afterwards. I think you had to go home because you had a 2-year-old at home, and it was some mission. It was like 11 o'clock by the time it was over, whatever. And then we just four of us just went out and had some cocktails and talked. And Pat had this mission of, I've never been up for 24 hours, or I haven't since college. I got up at 4 a.m. Let's do this. And that's the way the rest of the evening went. And I think we ended up at the Melrose for breakfast at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Tomasulo or McGann?
No, Tomasulo.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
We were all a lot younger.
No, that must have been 15 years because he hasn't missed an early bedtime in a long time.
It was a long time ago. We were all a lot younger. Yeah, we were all a lot younger. You know, Anna, for you, you after college, you went to University of Chicago. Then you went, you did a lot of the National Morning Show out of New York. But now, just over 20 at WGN. Can you believe it's been 20 years for you?
No, I cannot. I am so lucky and blessed, and it doesn't feel like it's been 20 years. And doing what I do, which, you know, no other station really has a franchise like Around Town that they do every day, that they do 7 hits from, and I still love it. I still wake up in the morning, and after I curse the alarm clock, I go, but you're just going to go make people happy, and you're going to go give them good news, and in this climate we're living in, it's so important, right?
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. Mike, what was...
If I can tag that one, what I say every morning when these Around Town hits come on, I say, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how Anna does this every day. and is able to, whether there's something to find there or not, she finds it. She pulls it out and pulls it off every day. And I'm just, every day, seriously, and I've told you this before, it just amazes me what you're able to do.
Wow, Mike, that's very nice of you.
The energy you have in the morning, I mean, is really infectious.
Why do you think I'm, like, ready to go to bed right now?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, really, your energy is great. And I know you have a lot of fun, because I've been part of those towns. And when you're with Mary, Sweary Mary, I mean, it's just, it's a good crew that you're working with every single day. And it makes it easy to go to work, right?
Absolutely. That's my family, and we have a dynamic that is very different than what the people in the studio and in the office have. So we take care of each other, and you know, they're such a big part of my life.
Absolutely. And Mike, you're over 20 years. I mean, was that the first appearance? Was it being Adam West in the Batman costume? Was that it, the first one?
Yeah, that was the first time I ever did a bit on the show. I had been a guest before that, but that was 2003, and that was a Halloween piece. And I still remember it like it was yesterday. And then it just kind of slowly built into something, like an occasional guy to a freelance guy to a part-time guy to a full-time guy.
You got a little Adam West? I have to hear it,
Ordinarily, I would be able to discuss this with you, David, but the Joker has escaped from jail, and I haven't a moment to lose.
And you're doing that all from bed.
That's right, on my back.
Absolutely.
Stick around for a couple more minutes, guys. Enjoy Night of Comedy with Chicago's very own Anna Balaval, Mike Toomey, Jeff Hoover's hosting, all from the WGN Morning News team. It's all happening on Thursday, March 12th, 2026, at the Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove. For tickets, go to classiccinemas.com, and there's more with Mike and Anna next. All right, you can enjoy a night of comedy with Chicago's very own Anna Balaval, Mike Toomey, and host Jeff Hoover, all from the WGN Mornings News team, Thursday, March 12th at the Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove. For tickets, go to classiccinemas.com. Mike and Anna are with us. So we talked a little bit about, like, what your inspirations were growing up. Like, what are some of the comedians specifically? You mentioned David Brenner, Mike, you know, other ones that really you loved their comedy. You know, we would watch Johnny Carson and couldn't wait to see a certain comedian on, right?
Of course. Well, for me, it begins and ends with George Carlin. My brother introduced me to his albums because he was much older than me. And, you know, the first one was Class Clown, where he did the seven words you can't say on television.
Right.
And I had to put headphones in and make sure nobody would catch me listening to this because the words were so dirty. But that was where I was introduced to him. And I just found him to be the most fascinating guy, the way he mastered the language, the way every word mattered, and the way he observed things differently than everybody else. And I just said, to me, the mark of a true comedian is when you can watch him and say, how does this guy think of that stuff? You know, and I wish, like, someday I want people to say that about me, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And they do. If anyone, I mean, I know a lot of our viewers watch them on WGN Morning News, but I've always said it, you have to go see Mike Toomey on stage doing his stand-up comedy. He's in his element and is a different guy than the one you see on our air.
How about Thursday, March 12th?
Absolutely.
Let's try that.
ClassicCinemas.org or com?
I think it's .com. ClassicCinemas.com. Okay. Yeah, for sure. We have a, which I need to get you both there. I need to do an around town, but I need to get Mike's going to do maybe one of his weekend shows there, but I got to get you guys to the museum because we did this whole evolution of, late night television. Like, was there late night shows that you guys grew up with? Like that you know, I was a Letterman guy, I think, you know, as a grown up.
Yeah, me too. I was Letterman and, my gosh, Conan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those guys.
Mike, what about you?
For me, Letterman started doing his show the year that I started doing stand-up comedy professionally. So there was a perfect, you know, parallel there. Mm-hmm. But as a kid, Carson, you know, and especially in the summer, because I could stay up. Remember, he was on for an hour and a half for a spell there.
He was.
And it was, you know, during the summer, I could stay up and watch him until I fell asleep. So growing up, it was Carson, and then becoming a comedian, most definitely Letterman.
I say you can catch Carson.
It's interesting because it's funny because you guys say you grew up watching it, and I didn't coming to the late night game to watching it until I moved fully to the U.S. mainland because I was young. I grew up in Puerto Rico until I was 18, so we didn't watch late night. It was too late, and if you didn't have cable, you didn't see it. But so I'm like, why am I thinking of 90s people if I didn't grow up in the 90s? And that's it. I was consuming more U.S. television when I moved here full time. So I'm like, I'm making it sound like I'm a 90s child, but no, I'm definitely not.
You know, it's funny, like my kids don't really watch much late night, and we surveyed a bunch of people about like, what are you watching as a teenager? Like my daughter, my older son will say, well, you know, I might watch Fallon on Snapchat or whatever, YouTube the next day for like 3 or 4 minutes. You know, I don't know. Amelia's a little bit younger. I don't know if she's watching any late night stuff or cares about late night TV.
The whole thing. She will watch clips.
Yeah.
She may stay up for Saturday Night Live, but she will, if she needs to, she has no problem consuming it the next day on TikTok, you know?
And that was a time that, you know, that's where comedians were born on these shows. And, you know, now you talk to comedians today, they feel like it's much easier today because they can put something up online in 2 seconds on Facebook or Instagram, and they're going to be the hottest thing in 2 seconds. Maybe it was a little harder back then. You had a few channels, right? And then you had to go through and see if Johnny's people would come see you and put him on the show. And once he did, he made you a star. But I think that is certainly of the past. It's just a different way to get attention. It's all about social media, right?
Yeah. That's how I found out about Josh Johnson. I went to see Josh Johnson with my daughter the other day, sold out at the Chicago Theater. And she found him on social media.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's how it's going these days. All right. So what are folks going to expect at the big show at the Tivoli? Mike, why don't you start?
Well, I think they're going to see, you know, the three of us in our element. Like Anna said, you know, you get out there, you're in your element, and there's no restrictions, there's no boundaries. Not that Jeff Hoover has ever had them. But, you know, you're going to see us as our natural selves, you know. And by that, I don't mean, you know, unchained. We're going to swear. Nothing quite like that. But, you know, we tell a little bit about our lives. We tell a little bit about our families and things that we find funny. And it's not exactly who we are in the morning. So I guarantee it's a night of fun.
That's why we need to hear some swearing. I think that just a little bit. Just for the kids.
I will a little bit.
Toomey is a potty mouth.
Oh, he is not.
Most of my cursing is in Spanish. So.
Oh, that's good. I like that. I like that. And there's some VIP tickets left, I think, too, to do a meet and greet at the show as well, right?
Oh, yeah?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. We have to stay after?
You might, or before. I didn't read all the details. But
we got the St. Patrick's Day show the next day. I'm going to be a mess.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And it's a night of comedy, again, with Chicago's very own Anna Balaval. Mike Toomey, Jeff Hoover is hosting, all from the WGN Morning News team. It is on Thursday, March 12th at the Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove. And for more, go to classiccinemas.com. Thank you, guys. And I'm hoping I can get out there and watch it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I hope so.
I hope you can, too. Good talking to you, David.
Same here. Have a great weekend, guys. Thank you again.